Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, again. Actually, this will be our third lesson. And if you've gotten the other two broadcasts, you'll understand how this thing is going. So we'll move a little bit more quickly in today's lesson so that we can finish up giving you the information you need to help you to understand what's going on with these modern Bibles. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, the Bible says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. That's the problem. As soon as somebody starts messing with the words of God and tries to get them up in a modern Bible, they can't help but lie about the truth. And you're going to see that in great detail today. It's inconceivable and it's unbelievable. The only way that it could have possibly happened is that the devil had to influence those that were doing the work. And as I said yesterday, I'm not sure that they really intended for the devil to influence them. I'm quite sure that they didn't. But in their pride of scholarship, as they began to mess with the Bible and mess with the words of God, something happened. And like Peter, who rebuked Jesus Christ for saying that he was going to go to the cross, like the scholars who say, no, the words that are in the authorized Bible are not right, what happened is the devil came in the translating committee and started influencing their thinking, and they didn't even realize it. Jesus Christ turned to Peter in Matthew chapter 16 and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. That's what's happened in the modern Bibles. The devil influenced the committee. All right, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 19, the Bible says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And as we said yesterday, he doesn't take his name out of the book of life. He takes his part away. That is, he loses his inheritance. And out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He said in Revelation 22:18, not to add. He said, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Messing with the words of God is very, 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 very dangerous. Also, Deuteronomy 4:2 says the same thing. So the three verses, or the four verses, are Deuteronomy 4:2, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. So we continue on with our study today, then, and showing you how drastically modern Bibles have attacked the words of God. And in many cases, as I said, I'm not sure that they intended to, any more than Peter intended to rebuke Jesus Christ about something that Jesus Christ had to do in order to save us. Jesus Christ had to go to the cross in order to save us. Peter tried to talk him out of it because he thought it was an unreasonable thing for Jesus to do. And Jesus said, you savor the things that be of men, and told him that he was speaking for the devil. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. So in continuing on with our study today, then, let's look at another verse, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. And again, we're continuing on. This is the third in a three-part study, so if it seems that we're a little bit right in the middle of a study, we are, in fact. We're only doing this for a help, okay? In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, go ahead and turn to that in your NIV. That's the Bible we've been using for comparisons, although today we're also going to look a lot at the New King James Version because people are curious about that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, I'll give you a few moments to find the verse. You'll see in the NIV that it's only a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 word verse, for there are three that testify. That's verse 7 in the NIV. You say, man, something's way silly about that. Yeah, what they've done is they've taken verse 8 and split it in two and made the first part of verse 8 verse 7 so that you wouldn't know that verse 7 is completely removed in the NIV. In other words, if you read the NIV and you look down at the end of the chapter in 1 John chapter 5, you'll find there's 21 verses in the chapter, just as there are in the authorized King James Bible. But when you get to verse 7, guess what you're going to find missing? You're going to find these words are missing in the NIV. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. missing. You say it's just unbelievable. I can't believe they took that out of there. I can't either. Don't you believe there's a Trinity? I do. The greatest verse in the Bible on the Trinity is 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, that says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You can't get it any clearer than that. People have said, yeah, but you don't understand. There's no witnesses in the Greek manuscripts for 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, until the late manuscripts, and that it was added by a fellow named Erastus. Let me tell you something. There is so much evidence for this verse, it would blow you away. There's internal evidence for it because of the pronouns that are used in the text. It is found in Cassiodoria in 480. It's found in Priscillan, 385. It is found in Jerome in 800. It's found in Tertullian, quoted by Tertullian in 200 A.D. That's just 100 years plus a few, like 104 years from the time that John wrote it. Or maybe 110 years from the time that John wrote it. Tertullian quoted it in 200 A.D. What do you mean there's no evidence for it? It's quoted by Cyprian in 250 A.D. It's found in manuscript 61 in Dublin Iron that has affinity with Syriac and the Old Latin. And it's found in the Old Syriac and the Old Latin in 150 and 200 A.D. Four Waldensian Bibles have the reading. It's in the Latin of 450 to 500 A.D. Erasmus didn't have it in his text in 1516, but by 1552, the Syriac readings show up in Europe and confirm manuscript 61. That's the manuscript evidence. It was quoted in the Council in the Carthage Creed in 415 A.D. What do you mean there's no evidence for the verse? Modern Bibles that lead you to believe that it wasn't in the oldest and best manuscripts. The oldest and best manuscripts they're referring to are Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. Those are both Catholic manuscripts. Sinaiticus was found in the base of Mount Sinai in St. Catherine's Monastery. And Sinaiticus, that manuscript was in the kindling. It was going to be used to light the fire in the fireplace till somebody pulled it out of there. Nobody was using it. It's a Catholic manuscript produced by Origen. Vaticanus is kept in the Vatican Library. That ought to be a clue to you. They say that this verse is not found in the oldest and best manuscripts. Those are not the oldest and best manuscripts then. Not if it's going to be kindling for fire in a trash can. You got to be kidding. Those texts are not written until 250 to 300, 350 A.D., and it's being quoted by men prior to that in their writings. You see? So a modern Bible will come in there and strip that verse out of there. The Bible says if you take away the words of God, God's going to take your part from the book of life. How many people no longer believe in the Trinity as a result of the removal of the references to the Trinity, the clearest one that can possibly be found in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7? God only knows. You know, there are attacks in the modern Bibles all throughout. I'm going to give you another example of a change that is a terrible change in the modern Bibles. Acts chapter 4, verse 27. Acts chapter 4, verse 27. Acts chapter 4, verse 27, and also verse 30. This is a reference to Jesus Christ being the child of God. You know that he is. I do too. But the modern Bible seem to have difficulty with that whenever they get the opportunity. And I'm not only talking about the NIV here and the New American Standard Version and any of those other modern Bibles that you choose to use. I'm talking about the New King James Bible. Somebody called me the other day and said, well, is the New King James Bible like the Authorized King James Bible? I said, no. Here's a classic example right here. All right, look in Acts chapter 4, verse 27, and look at the testimony of Peter now. Watch it. Verse 27, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus Christ the only begotten Son of God? As we discussed yesterday, found in John chapter 3, verse 16, yes, he is. He is the child of God. God Almighty was his father. Mary conceived in her womb by the Holy Ghost. That's God's child. Now, in eternity, he's the Word, but once he's born here in the earth as Jesus, he is the Holy Child. That's not the way it is in the modern Bibles. Look in your NIV. Go to verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant, Jesus. Wait a minute. Verse 30, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. You mean to tell me that, in fact, you could agree with the Pharisees that Jesus Christ was born of Joseph and Mary and that Jesus Christ was nothing more than a servant? Why, when you read about him compared to Moses in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 5, I think it is, Moses is the servant, Jesus Christ is the son. Hebrews chapter 1, the big difference between Jesus Christ and the angels is he's not a ministering spirit. He is the Son of God. Then you say, what about the New King James Bible? It says King James Bible. It may say it on the cover. It doesn't contain the King James Bible in the context. Look in Acts chapter 4, verse 27 in a New King James Bible. For truly against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. That isn't what he was. He may have served the Lord. He was his son. Verse 30, by stretching your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Why, the New King James Bible completely agrees with the NASV and the NIV. It's no more a King James Bible than a man in the moon. It is only in name, not in text. The word in Greek is pais, P-A-I-S. They changed it against the evidence. It's just incredible. That's not all. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Somebody that was influencing the translators of the modern Bibles detested the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and did everything they possibly could and still pass off his Bibles to attack his deity in very important places like 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Now, in many of these places, the New King James Bible was clever enough not to go along with the modern Bibles so that you couldn't detect the switches. Because by this time, by the time that Bible was published, many of these verses that we've been dealing with here were well known. They were well known as corruptions in the Bible. So what happened is the New King James Bible made sure not to make these changes, but I'll show you before we finish this broadcast many places where the changes were made identically to the modern Bibles. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. Who was manifest in the flesh? God. It tells you in no uncertain terms that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Okay? Not in the modern Bibles. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, in the modern Bibles, the Bible says, beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body. Who appeared in a body? The devil? The devil appeared in a body. He appeared in the body of a serpent. He appeared in the body of Peter when he challenged Jesus Christ about the cross. He is going to appear in a body when he sits in Jerusalem on the throne of David, professing himself that he's God, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What do you mean he appeared in a body? Who? The Bible says, that is the authorized King James Bible says, God was manifest in the flesh, not the modern Bibles. They're corrupt. What's the problem? Who would be interested in convincing you that Jesus Christ is God's servant, that he is not a part of the Trinity, and that he's not God manifest in the flesh? I can think of only one being in the universe who would be interested in that. That's the devil, to destroy your faith in Jesus Christ. While you're in 1 Timothy chapter 6, look in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Again, now we make comparisons not only with the NIV, but with the New King James Bible, because I know some of you are concerned about that. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Now, you know the verse. You probably have memorized the verse, or you've quoted the verse. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, you've quoted this, the love of money is the root of all evil, right? You know, the possession of money is not the root of it. It's the love of it that's the root of it. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, in no uncertain terms, the love of money is the root of all evil. which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Sorry, you won't find that in a modern Bible. They don't say the love of money is the root of all evil. They say this, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. In other words, the new modern Bibles lead you to believe that there are several roots of evil, and that money, the love of money, is just one of those roots, and not of all evil, but of all kinds of evil. But that there are other kinds of roots dealing with other kinds of evil. And the New King James Bible went right along with them. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. That's not a King James reading. That's an NIV reading. That's a modern Bible reading. What happened? Well, they lost their nerve. You see, it's interesting. All of these modern Bibles are copyrighted. They're all sold. They're all advertised. They're all big selling items in the modern bookstores, see? And so one of the motives for translating these Bibles and copyrighting the text is so you'd have to pay to buy the text or get permission and give honor to the men that translated it by giving your evidence when you quoted the verse. When I quote the Bible, I don't have to keep going back and saying, as quoted in the Authorized King James Bible. It's not copyrighted. Anybody can print a King James Bible, an Authorized King James Bible. Anybody can, and they don't have to pay anybody for the privilege. It's not copyrighted. There's nobody that earns any kind of a royalty or fee. Not so with the modern Bibles. They're copyrighted. You have to have permission to quote larger texts of them. You've got to give them credit in your bibliography. And I guess if you wanted to print the whole thing, you'd have to get permission from the committee or pay. You know what the problem is? The love of money. You know what it's the root of? All evil. But to obscure the motive, it's been removed from the modern Bibles, including a New King James Bible. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. You know what keeps getting people in trouble? Bad science. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. You won't find that in the modern Bibles. You won't find that in the New King James Bible. You know what the problem is in the New King James Bible and in the modern Bibles? It's not science, falsely so called. It's contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Well, let me tell you something. There is no false knowledge. Knowledge is knowledge. If you have knowledge of something that's false, then you simply have knowledge of something that's false, but it's still knowledge. The NIV says opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. If you know something, whether you know something that's false or true, it's still knowledge. Remember God said to Adam and Eve, don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just because it's evil doesn't mean it's not knowledge. That's not the problem. The problem is bad science. And bad science, bad manuscript evidence is what led these modern translators to agree with the devil on the changes they made. I've got a friend of mine who told his pastor one time, he said, why do you keep preaching to these people out of the devil's Bible? You know that his pastor wasn't happy with him when he said that, but you understand now why he called it the devil's Bible. It's not knowledge that's the problem. The problem is the science behind the knowledge that causes you to believe you can make the changes you make. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, in a King James Authorized Bible, gives you the solution to the problem. He says in there, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what you're supposed to do in order to avoid these problems? Study. People say, well, I think this Bible is easy to understand. You want to get it on the first reading like you do a simple article in a newspaper. God's word's not like that. You got to study it, and the King James Authorized Bible tells you to study, but not the modern Bibles. The NIV says, do your best to present yourself to God as a one approved. Well, what does that mean? The New King James Bible says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. What do you mean, be diligent to present yourself approved to God? What does that mean? How do I do it? The Authorized King James Bible tells you how to do it. It says, study. And what I'm doing for you right now is I've taken the time to study these things out and show them to you so you can see these things and have them exposed. I got that by studying, not by being diligent. I got that by studying, not by doing my best. And you'll get it by studying. Now look at some interesting change here that was made in a NIV, in the modern Bibles, even in the New King James Bible. Go to Acts chapter 7. I see my time is running here, so I'm going to make these quick, but I want to be thorough enough with you. If I can't get it all, I guess I just can't get it all. Acts chapter 7, look at verse 45. Acts chapter 7, look at verse 45. The Bible says, the King James Bible says, the Authorized King James Bible says, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers under the days of David. That's going into the promised land. That's the context if you read all of Acts chapter 7. And the Bible says that Jesus took them into the possession of the Gentiles. But when you read Acts chapter 7 verse 45 in the New King James Bible, it says that they were brought in with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles. The NIV says our fathers under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations. All the modern Bibles change Jesus to Joshua, but do you know what the Greek is? I say the Greek. In the Greek manuscripts, there are many of them. I don't refer to the Greek text because there are many Greek texts, but the Greek texts say Yesu, Iota, Eta, Sigma, Omicron, U. See, like that. Yesu. That's Jesus. But they change it to Joshua. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus was there. That's why Hebrews chapter 4 verse 8 says the same thing. Hebrews 4 8 says, if Jesus had given them rest, then they would have not afterwards spoken of another day. But in the modern Bibles, the New King James, the NIV, NASV, it doesn't make any difference, they all say Joshua because they know that Joshua led them into the promised land. But you know what they've done? They've stripped away the divine revelation that Jesus was involved in that possession. In Exodus chapter 23, God told Moses, behold, in verse 20, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place that I have prepared. Verse 23, for mine angel shall go before thee. Joshua saw that angel in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Joshua is there. He's getting ready to take the Jews into Jericho. And in verse 13, he lifted up his eyes and he saw a man. And the man identified himself as the captain of the host of the Lord and told Joshua to take his shoes off because he was on holy ground. You know who that captain of the host of the Lord was right there? It was Jesus. And the angel that went before them, the angel of the Lord that went before them, like the angel of the Lord that appeared to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 in the burning bush, was Jesus. And so the King James Bible is the only Bible on earth that had it right. In Acts chapter 7, 45, and Acts chapter 4, verse 8. I mean, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. All of the modern Bibles changed it to Joshua because they took away the fact that Jesus was there assisting them in the fight. Well, that's blasphemous. That's men limited to their own understanding making changes without the benefit of light from the Holy Spirit of God. The only place you're going to get it is in an authorized King James Bible. Look, that change is like the change they made in Acts chapter 12, verse 4. Do you know in Greek there is no word for Easter? So in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, the King James translators told you that Herod was waiting on Easter before he tried to kill Peter. In Acts chapter 12, verse 4, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And all the modern translators say, oh, that's a mistake in the King James Bible. Oh, no. No, King James Bible's wrong there. Let me tell you, there is no Greek word for Easter. It's Pascha, just like Passover. But you can tell from reading the context that the only word that fits there is Easter. This Herod was not concerned about taking Peter on Passover. Why, they killed Jesus Christ on Passover. That's how he's your Passover lamb. Why is this guy suddenly going to be getting religion and worried about Passover? That's insane. The Bible tells you clearly that the days they were in were already the days of unleavened bread in verse 3. Well, the days of unleavened bread are the seven-day feast that follow the Passover. They were already in the days of unleavened bread. Passover had already passed. He wasn't worried about waiting until Passover. If he was, he would have had to wait a year before he killed Peter. No, he was worried about Easter because this Herod came out of Edom, and they were already worshiping the goddess Easter down in Edom before this Herod took over control. He was concerned about his pagan holiday, not the Jewish observance. Like I said, they killed Jesus Christ on Passover. What would he worry about that for? Passover precedes the days of unleavened bread. Easter always follows Passover. So this took place in that short span between Passover and Easter. Herod was going to wait until he sacrificed to his goddess Easter, and then he was going to kill Peter. The King James Bible, the authorized King James Bible, is the only Bible on earth, English Bible on earth, that has that straight. The NIV and the New King James and all the rest of them have it wrong. Now let me give you five verses as we conclude this that you can check out in any modern Bible, and they'll tell you right quick whether you're dealing with the right Bible or the wrong Bible. Let me give them to you so you can write them down, because we're running short of time, and then I'll briefly explain them to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Write it down. 2 Corinthians 2, 17. 1 Thessalonians 5, 22. 1 Timothy 6, 5. And Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 25. Here they are. 2 Corinthians 2, 17. 1 Thessalonians 5, 22. 1 Timothy 6, 5. Romans 1, 18 and 25. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17 shows you that men corrupt the words of God. All modern Bibles change that word corrupt to some other word. You know why? Because it pointed out that that's what they were doing, is they were corrupting the words of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 tells you to abstain from all appearance of evil. All appearance of evil. The modern Bibles change that. All kinds of evil, or all kinds of appearances of evil, not all evil. It is evil to challenge the words of God, to change them and remove them. That's why they changed the word. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, we read that you are to separate yourself from men who say that gain is godliness. Supposing that gain is godliness. Because by making money, they say, see how much God has blessed us. They all change the verse to godliness is gain. It is an exact reversal. Romans 1:18 and Romans 1:25 talk about changing the words of God, changing the words of God, and holding the words of God. When I have a King James Bible, I can hold the words of God. And all modern Bibles change the words of God. But they change that verse to exchange so you don't get what they've done. They're hiding their own sins when they change those five verses right there. Study them. Check them out for yourself. You'll see. I wish we had more time, but we don't. We're done. And I pray that these 3 days of studies have really opened your eyes to the corruption of modern Bibles. You need an authorized King James Bible. That's where you'll find the words of God. You need the understanding of the Holy Spirit of God.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.